Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrazzi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Whole Scoop. As you know, we're a health and wellness radio show, and our guests are always highly credentialed in their fields. The goal of this show, as always, is to give you the information you need to make informed decisions. I'm your host, Carol Ferrazzi, a registered licensed dietitian practicing for over 30 years and the founder of Naturally Nutrition, Inc., and you can check me out at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. And as you know, it's important for me to provide you with highly qualified guests. Tonight's show is The Road to Wellness. Now, for those of you who have been with us but know us, you know this guest so well, and we're going to get to him in just a second, but I got to do the business. So the business is, let me remind you that while our guests are always highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's recommended that you seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. Call-in number is 347-855-8894, and you can also direct questions and comments to us on Facebook with our Blog Talk Radio group. So please like us on Facebook. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what you don't want to hear. Ask your questions on Facebook. We're checking it out. We're talking. We have some announcements coming up at the end of the show for what we are doing. So watch Facebook. Let us know what you think. 347-855-8894. And if you want to ask a question, remember to press the number 1, and you'll get in the queue for the questions, and then we'll go from there. So all that being said, you know this guy, you know him very well. I know this guy, the whole scoop loves him. We all love him. He is, he's been with us a number of times. He's done a number of shows, and tonight we're doing The Road to Wellness, which kind of encompasses anything and everything that we want to talk about just to stay well and healthy. And we're talking to Dr. Basilio Pace. He is the founder of Total Care of Union City, a chiropractic consultant for Liberty Mutual Insurance, Crawford Insurance, and the RP Medical and Rehabilitation Group of Hasbrouck Heights, New Jersey. He's board certified in the states of New York, New Jersey, and Florida with a master's certification in cervical acceleration, deceleration, injuries, and San Diego Spine Research Institute. All that being said, I'm going to bring him on. There is so much more to him than what he's given me for a bio, so I'm just going to let him talk because you're going to love him if you haven't heard him before. So, Dr. Pace, are you here?
I am here, and thank you so much for that wonderful intro, and it's always great to be on your show. We love your show and all your guests. You provide wonderful information, and it's always so exciting to participate.
We're thrilled that you're such a fan of this show, and that we're honored that you're a guest. So thank you. But all that being said, man, where are we starting with the road to wellness? How I wanted to kind of break this show. This is a perfect way to end a year and to think about the beginning of a new year. And so that's why. I always start the show out in the years for the beginning of the year as basic health and wellness and diet and nutrition and stuff like that. So I felt like this year I needed to end the year with people thinking about what it is that they want to do to become more healthier and to become more in tune with what makes them healthy. So you're perfect for that. So
So are you.
Oh, well, thank you. So where do you want to start?
Well, it's the time of year where everybody's getting stressed out, you know, and they're eating a lot, they're worrying about their weight, they don't know what to do, they're running around, they have to buy gifts, the holidays are coming, the old things are coming up, they're doing all sorts of things, and there's a lot of stress. So how do we handle the stress? And then people worry about losing the weight and going to start a gym and working out. And what are we doing? It's really not that complicated. You got to slow down a little bit, take a chill, it's good to eat. It's good to exercise. There's simple things we could do. I was reading something on one of your blogs that food is one of the most abused foods for depression or anxiety, and exercise is the least used form of therapy for reducing stress or getting healthy. And it's really not that complicated. People think that they have to go to the gym for an hour or two to work out, to stay in shape. They have to go on these crazy diets to stay in shape, to lose weight, and it's not about that. And if people reached out to you because you're the specialist, you're a registered dietitian, they will get some better care plans, better paths on what to eat and what not to eat and doing a little exercise, and things fall into place. It's not that complicated. Not that complicated.
You're absolutely correct. It's not as complicated as we make it. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. And then we tend to overthink things a whole lot. And then we throw ourselves back into that cycle of stress. And when we do that, then, you know, as you well know, we have the hormones that kick in. The hormones then kick in and tell the body that says, hey, you know what, why not, you're in fight or flight mode now because you're so anxious, so you're going to store all that stuff that you've eaten. So you kind of defeat the purpose before you get started. It's a pretty interesting cycle.
It's crazy. It's just
crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
And there's always an excuse, well, I don't have time to exercise. You have 10 minutes to exercise. Well, what are you going to do in 10 minutes? You could do a full body exercise in 10, 15 minutes that gets your metabolism going to burn fats and to de-stress you and to get you motivated and get you feeling better and get you moving, 10, 15 minutes a day that you could do in your house. You don't have to go to a gym. I work out in my basement. I have like maybe 5 square feet of room among the debris that we have down there next to the washing machine. I love weight training, and strength training is definitely the way to go. People think, oh, I got to do 2 hours of cardio. Strength training and all the research and the articles that I've read and studied is anti-aging. You don't have to do heavy weights. You don't have to do power lifting. You don't have to lift all sorts of weights and have different machines. You could start with, you know, some simple dumbbells or a couple of gallons of water or some elastic resistant bands, anything. And just do something for 10 or 15 minutes. You do some
upper
extremity, lower extremity. You do some, you know, chest work, leg work. And they call it burst training, some of the forms. And you just do it for 10 or 15 minutes with not too much rest in between, maybe only, you know, 10 seconds or so to catch your breath. And you go from one muscle group to the next, and you try to work the whole body at the same time for a couple of minutes, get your heart rate up. And before you know it, you're done. You're done. 10, 15 minutes. That's it.
Well, I think, you know, you're absolutely correct, and I think that it's important that people know that. It's very simple. It's with and without you, but I'm a realist, and so I always try to put myself in the position of somebody listening. So, and I tend to get some of the same listeners that I've had before, which is wonderful. Thank you for joining us again. And if you're new, thank you even more for tuning in for the first time and giving us a chance. But I'm going to give you a scenario, and the scenario is this. Everything you just said, it sounds fabulous, except that, you know what, I've had some health issues and I can't move the way that I used to move, or I can't do what I used to do, or maybe I know that I don't really have time to exercise, and maybe we need to change the mindset on exercising and saying, hey, you know what, as long as you're moving around, start moving around, you know, like that could mean anything in your house. That could mean cleaning
That's
out
right.
a room. Yeah, it could mean anything.
That's right.
But you know, what about, let's just take those people that maybe have some chronic situations happening that say, you know, I don't want to use the word depressed because I don't want to lump everybody into a certain category, but I'm going to use it from the perspective of maybe they're just a little bit down for not being able to perform the way they used to perform, and then they kind of like
right.
say, I don't know what I can do. So why don't we start, and we can work our way up to where you just left off and say, what do you do? How do you do it? What's the best way to approach something like that?
Well, that's do what you can do. So it doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair or you're bedridden. I used to rehab patients in nursing homes, 90 years old, that couldn't walk. And in a month's time, I'd have them running around again because I got them moving. You got them moving. You got to get up. You got to move. You got to walk. Oh, it hurts. Of course it hurts, but you got to move. Movement is the key to life. You have to move your body. If the body doesn't move, it falls apart. It dies. And then they bury you under the ground. So you have to move. Doesn't mean you have to lift weights, but you can lift up a broomstick. If you can't lift up a broomstick, you lift up your arm with your other arm. You lift up your leg with your other leg. So I've rehabbed, you know, stroke patients, patients, you know, post-op, all different kinds of patients. You do what you can do, and mm-hmm. and you get moving in any way you can. And you might not be able to lift the weight, but you lift the fork. You lift something, mm-hmm. and sooner or later you can feed yourself again, and you get moving again. And that's what rehab's all about. And exercise is the same thing. You start at a basic level that you're comfortable with. You do some things that you like to do. I tell my patients, if you don't like to lift weights, dance. Put the music on when you go home. Dance. Do some salsa, merengue. My patients are, you know, Hispanic. Put some music on and dance. And they dance. And you're going to feel better after a few minutes. You can't do it for 10 minutes. Do it for 5 minutes. Do it for 2 minutes. But just get up and move. If you can't get up and move because you have bad knees or you have no legs, you work up your upper body. So do whatever you can and do things that you like so you'll do it again. That's how you start.
I think that's the key right there. I think you just ended on a keynote, and that is do what you like. Because every time that we do something we don't like, it doesn't work. And I'm going to use food as an example. People who try to avoid certain foods, which we all do, but they'll say, you know, I really want those potato chips, but I can't really have them, but I really feel like I'm really craving some potato chips tonight, and they'll do everything they can do not to have those potato chips. And what I mean by that is they eat around the potato chips. So they know the potato chips are there. They don't really want them, but they want them, but they don't really want to eat them. So they eat the cookies. Doesn't do it. Doesn't solve that craving. They eat something else, and that doesn't solve the craving. And so by the time they get to like 5 or 6 different samples of foods that they've tried to knock out that craving, they end up going back to the potato chips anyway. So what I tell people is to go ahead and eat the potato chips. Just eat a small amount of potato chips, solve, you know, satisfy the craving, and be done. And it's the same thing with what you're just talking about. Whatever you can do, do. But do what you enjoy so that you do it again and that it doesn't feel like work. Because if it feels like work or it feels like an obligation of some sort, everybody's exhausted. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, because it's nice to be able to say, go exercise for 10 minutes, go do this for 15 minutes, do whatever you can do. But we gotta throw in that stress factor. You started it, you know, you're so right. You started it, especially this time of year. These next 2 or 3 weeks are just horrible.
Crazy.
For people. Yeah. It's just horrible. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. It's got to happen. It's all by this certain date. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And then I got to take care of myself in the process of that. So maybe we should back up a little bit. What do you think? And let's just talk about the person. And let's just talk about a person and what actually a person can do to take care of themselves in total, not just exercise, not just eating, but in total. What is wellness in total? So when we talk about the road to wellness, there are all kind of facets there, and there's all kind of crossroads. So let's talk about some of those.
Well, the biggest thing is what's going on in your head. And to handle that's why I use exercise to handle that kind of stress myself. I love food. Mm-hmm. I love to eat. I'm a foodie. I love to cook. I love to eat. You know, I'm Italian. You know, all that stuff is great. And I realized at a young age, well, the more I exercise, the more I can eat. So that worked out really well. But then I got older and says, well, I can exercise all I want. I'm gaining all this weight. If I eat too much, I'm going to have problems. So you got to eat the right food or eat less. Well, how come in Italy they eat pasta every day? Well, I'll tell you why. they ate 2 ounces of pasta. Here we have a half a pound per serving.
So that's so true. Portion control
is important. And so how come you're trying to eat pasta every day? Because they have 2 ounces. Well, what's that? 2 ounces. That means very little. Oh.
Yeah.
And you can eat pasta every day. It's not so bad. And eat it al dente because then it doesn't break down as fast. Oh, and you don't have to eat a loaf of bread. You can have a piece of bread. You like those potato chips? Yes, you can have a couple of potato chips. What's nothing wrong with that, like you said. So you don't have to punish yourself. You just have to be reasonable and moderate in your approach to things.
Well, you know, there's a thing called intuitive eating. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay. Intuitive eating is ultimately, if you think about it, you ultimately know what you should be eating. Your body is telling you. It comes to you. It says to you, you know, I really kind of need to have a salad today, or I kind of need to have a sweet potato. There's a reason for that. There are certain nutrients in that sweet potato that you might need. Maybe your body's saying to you, I need that vitamin C and I need it now, you know?
Right.
If it's saying salad, then it's not because it's lower in calories, it's because maybe you need the spinach that's in the salad for maybe some of the iron or the minerals that are from the green leafies.
Sure.
That you need.
And all those phytochemicals and all that other good stuff.
Right, right. So so when you get those things in your head, it's kind of like you should maybe pay attention. So if we back up and we look at the whole person, we say, all right, this is a perfect time of year to talk about this. Everybody's crazy right now. What should I do to just take care of me? Well, the first thing, in my opinion, is you got to stop for a minute and just kind of breathe. Breathing is good. And that sounds silly because everybody breathes to live, but not everybody breathes to live to be healthy. And there is a way to breathe to be healthy, and there's a way to just breathe to live. Most of us just don't even think about our breaths. But if we stop for a minute and we really take a deep breath, and we really just take a deep breath in. And let it out. And we slow everything down in our body and we reposition, and it's kind of like setting a reset in our bodies and saying, okay, time to regroup, time to start again. And if you just do that pretty much periodically throughout the day, what happens, and it's been proven and there's research on this to actually show that when you do that, the physiological functions in the body do actually reset, and they are able to kind of regroup and get back on track. Because when we're in modes like this and this time of year, our bodies are scrambling with us to try to keep up with everything that's going on. Because remember, the mind and the body are connected. And that's something that we don't do real well in traditional medicine. We don't think about the connections of the body. The mind is connected to the body, and everything in the body is connected to each other. You know, you can't just function. You can't
right.
just go have your gallbladder out and not feel it. And not.
Well,
and
that's what chiropractic's all about. The mind and the body is connected, and that's what chiropractic's all about. The mind and the body is connected.
So talk about that for a minute. The body is connected. The mind is connected. And just because that's what's amazing to me. So when we talk about the road to wellness, we have to think about everything that we do. It's kind of like a car. We wouldn't put sugar in the gas tank. But we tend to just eat whatever's in front of us because somebody calls it food. When you can't pronounce the ingredients, our bodies don't know what those are either, and they don't know how to process it.
I tell my patients, if you can't read the ingredients on the box, don't eat it.
Right.
It's not real food.
Right.
If it comes from the ground and it looks like it came from nature, well, then it's a good chance it's real.
Right.
That's it.
And the thing about that is, I mean, we could circle this around to just about everything. We can circle all of that around to chronic illness, So if you don't stop and breathe and you don't stop and center and just take a minute to say, okay, let's just regroup here, then your body can't do the reset. Your body's in overdrive. When it's in overdrive, the immune system kicks up and the immune system continues to go. When the immune system continues to kick up, then the hormones kick up to try to counteract what's happening in the body. And all these things keep happening and all these chemical reactions continue to happen physiologically, and then they start misfiring, just like a car might misfire when it's overworked and overheated. So when that happens, then things start to go awry, and you start to have chronic illness, and you start to have internal inflammatory responses, which create chronic illness, and the chronic illness
there
then can turn into acute illness, right?
That's it. Cellular inflammation. It starts at the cellular level, and then it just spreads from there.
Right, and then what happens? You're in pain. You have chronic pain. You have heart disease. I mean, you can have anything at all. You can be diagnosed with some kind of disease of some sort, when in fact, it can. Most things can be reversed when it's caught early enough in that inflammatory phase.
And what's the biggest cause of cellular inflammation? Most of the time in the diet, it's sugar. And not just table sugar, but the carbohydrates that break down to sugar, the simple carbohydrates, the refined carbohydrates, all the stuff that we eat in this American diet, the white diet, that creates the cellular inflammation. So I tell my patients on a regular basis, my credo in the office is, what are the foods you got to get off? I tell them, no pasta, no pizza, no rice, no bread. Cut off those products. Cut back on those products. You're going to start to feel better. Your body needs good fats. Eat the good fats. You know, the olive oils, the coconut oils, the omegas, the fish, the cold fish, all those products. That's going to get you feeling better, because people are so misdirected by the media and the food industry. They don't know what to eat because they see it on TV. So, oh, this is healthy for you. But it's really not. It's really not. We've been brainwashed for so many years that fats are bad, and a high-fat diet is bad for you, and the carbohydrates were pushed to the max. And what's happening now? We have overweight, diabetic kids.
Kids, right.
Not just the adults. Kids.
With adult-onset diabetes, right.
It's horrible.
Right.
Horrible.
Yeah, it is.
And now it's,
maybe
the fats aren't really that bad for you. No, they were really. That's why the Mediterranean diet works. The type of foods that they eat in those countries are healthy because they're natural and it's not highly refined carbohydrates. So,
and they can pronounce ingredients. Agree with that.
Right, exactly. And that's a big stress to the diet, to our health, is the sugar and the refined carbs. So reducing that is a big stress reduction in your health. And so
right.
That's one
and
way
so,
to reduce that. Reduce some of the carb intake. Eat real carbs, vegetables, you know, fruits, vegetables. And
that's right.
That starts you on the right path. Eat real food. It has to be real food.
So
you know, frozen
we're
food
recap,
is okay.
Yeah, you're right. But if we're going to recap, we need to start with Mentally, you got to give yourself a break. Because mentally, I tell people, listen, there are no, honest to God, there are no food police. Really. I don't know of one. I don't know of anybody that has a job that says, hey, I'm here to police what you eat. Nobody. So who's the worst judge of what you're eating? You, okay? So,
exactly.
Let's just start there. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break for all the things that you have going on in your life, all the stress that's happening, everything that has caused you to kind of freak out. And everybody has it. Everybody has stuff going on and serious stuff. I mean, if we were to take a group of people in one room, it's a shame that we have a tendency to judge each other when, in fact, we really don't know the details of anybody's lives unless we know them intimately. And so I'm willing to bet that for every stressor that you're experiencing, that person standing next to you is experiencing something, if not similar, just as stressful for them. So if that's the case and we're all experiencing that, then we have to just sit back and we have to, like, go, you know what, let's give each other a break and let's just stop. So that's number one. Number two is now the same thing happens. You don't run the car to the ground. You give the car a break. And when you give the car a break, you put in, you give the car what it needs to keep going. You make sure the oil's changed. You make sure you don't put sugar in the gap.
You got to bring it for a tune-up once in a while. That's what I tell my patients. You know, I'm the mechanic here. This is the body shop. Come in for a tune-up. It's good for you.
That's exactly
right.
You
don't have to have an accident to come and see me. Just come in for a tune-up. It keeps you healthy. And some people do. And listen. And guess what? They stay healthy. They feel better. So they know.
And I want to talk about your tune-up in just a second. Because I want you to tell people what a tune-up actually is with you. But if they do that, then it takes away the stress of, oh, I have to eat this way, or I have to eat that way, or I have to do this, I have to do that. No, you have to look at it. If you look at it from the perspective of it's a tune-up, it's something to keep you going, it's something to just keep you on track, then you lessen the stress of I must, I must, I must. Now, jumping ahead, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to take a short break here and tell everybody what they're listening to. But before I do that, I want to kind of get there, but I also want to jump ahead. I want to do two things when we come back. I want to talk about your tune-up, and then I want to jump ahead to people who are already in that chronic phase of pain and how they come back. So I want to talk about the tune-up, get the people that aren't there yet tuned up and understanding what it means to tune up, and then I want to jump ahead to the people who are already experiencing some of those issues that we just talked about and how they can come back and how you get them back, okay?
Sure. Great.
All right, good. So let me just do this because this is my little jingle, and I'm just like, I love this little thing, so I'm just going to do this and remind everybody that. Let's see.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrazzi.
Isn't that cool?
That's great.
So anyway, yes, you are listening to The Whole Scoop. I am Carol Ferrazzi. We're with Dr. Pache tonight, and we are talking about the road to wellness. It's kind of a hodgepodge of everything tonight, so feel free to jump in and give us a call, give us a question or two, tell us on Facebook, do that kind of thing. You can find, you know what I didn't do? I didn't give them an idea how they can reach you. You want to give your website out?
Sure, it's totalcarerehab.com.
Totalcarerehab.com. Okay, so you can find Dr. Pache at totalcarerehab.com. You'll find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. The call-in number is 347-855-8894. And if you want to ask a question, press the number 1 to get in the queue for questions. And I'll be calling out the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and we'll go from there. So now, thank you for letting me take that little break, and we will get back to it. So let's talk about your tune-up, and then let's jump ahead to the chronic situations and try to help people come back. And maybe what we'll do with a chronic situation is go into pain management, somebody that's got back issues that can't or want or just want to but can't exercise the way we were talking about earlier, or can't do some of the things, and it just, or maybe they're facing surgery, maybe they're facing some other, you know, we'll use that as an example, but let's do the tune-up first, okay? All right.
Well,
if I come to you and I say, hey, I really need a tune-up, what do I do? What do you do?
Well, I'm the back mechanic, just like there's the car mechanic and this is the body shop. So my job is to help maintain proper movement, spinal function. That's what chiropractors do. Remove the nerve interference from the spine and the spinal elements and the joints that create all that interference to the nervous system. And with spinal manipulation and exercise, we get the spine moving again where it was fixated, remove that interference. Just like when the car tire goes out of alignment, the tire wears out. Well, if the spine goes out of alignment, then the muscles get weak and things start to pull and the joints start to wear out and you start to develop arthritis. So you gotta work on the body every once in a while. Not just exercise. Exercise maintains muscle strength. Muscle strength maintains your posture. So by getting adjusted, the body removes that interference that it has mechanically, and then that transforms into actual neurological release in the body where the nerve interference is also improved and released, and that removes the pain. It breaks up that pain cycle. So by getting adjusted and getting the spine moving, the whole body improves. It improves even brain function. So that's what chiropractors do. They help put your spine in line and get the body moving, and you feel better. It's really simple. To me it's simple, but it really works in a simple, natural way. And
so you don't need to, when you see a chiropractor, you don't need to expect that you're going to be given a bunch of pills or anything, it's just the opposite, right?
Just the opposite. In fact, chiropractic's all natural. We don't give out pills. Do we work with nutrition and dietitians? Of course. If the body's lacking certain supplements and nutritions, there's all sorts of analytics that we have available today that you could see what your body might need. I don't do that in the office, but many doctors do that do functional nutrition, like one of your guests, Dr. Bump. There are experts in the field that work on that and will help you get the body up to speed to where it was lacking those supplements for whatever illness or, let's say, dysfunction you're having in different areas of your body.
Just like when you eat, you're putting food
in your tank, fuel in your tank. If you put the right fuel in your tank, well, then the car runs better. So supplementation with the right food improves your body function overall, especially if it's lacking in certain things. And first you have to find out what it's lacking in, and then you take it from there.
Well, and I think there's a couple of points that I wanted to make from there. If in my mind, when I use the word dis-ease instead of disease, it's the same word, just pronounced differently, dis-ease, because
right.
That's where disease came from. That's what it actually
Correct.
Means.
Correct.
If you
Correct.
Break it up to dis-ease, then it kind of makes sense. This is what the body's experiencing. Well, what happens when you don't do a car tune-up? What happens when the car doesn't get what it needs? It doesn't function right. It is dysfunctional.
Things start to break down. Right.
Right,
and depending where that irritation is in your spine, you're going to have different problems. I became a chiropractor because I had bad allergies and upper respiratory problems because I had a traumatic birth. You know, they pulled me out with forceps and my neck was twisted and I was all bruised up. And I was sick all the time as a kid. And I went to the chiropractor and he started working on me and I started getting healthy. My allergies went away and I started feeling good. And that's what worked for me. I didn't go to a chiropractor because I was in pain. I went to the chiropractor because I was sick. I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, chiropractic got on the map 100 years ago almost because during the swine flu epidemic in the 1920s, people were dying, millions of people were dying. And in the chiropractic hospitals in the out west, D.D. Palmer and B.J. Palmer established, people were surviving. So people started going to the chiropractic hospitals in droves, and they were surviving the influenza. So that's how chiropractic got on the map, because they were helping people stay healthy.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah, during the time when people were dying of influenza, the people getting treated were living. And that's the truth. You can look that up. And today, they think chiropractic...
Go ahead.
Today, people think chiropractic is a musculoskeletal profession, but it didn't start that way. It's to treat the body and keep it healthy. You know, we treat musculoskeletal disorders, but it's more than that. Because when you adjust the spine, you're really affecting the person's overall health. And you treat the dis-ease.
Then,
you treat the dis-ease. We use the same term.
Yeah, so anybody can come to you for just about anything. Like, I want to make that point because you're right. I mean, most people don't realize that about chiropractic. Most people just think adjustments and, okay, that's it. But they
I'm not going to say I'm going to cure heart disease and cancer and diabetes, but will chiropractic help your overall condition? It can help you. It can help you. You keep you healthy.
Heart disease, diabetes, and cancer all have their own internal inflammatory issues. And, no, you know, can anybody actually cure those? Well, you know, I've seen diabetes reverse for different reasons. Cancer, I've seen some miraculous things happen when you readjust the body and get the body in realignment, but I can't tell you that I can't say there's an ultimate cure for anything. But, yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is there are positive results just based on what you're just talking about. And if people
there
can
is.
Come to you and people can come to me and they can, you know, they can work on maintaining that road to wellness, then, I mean, the whole goal is to not get to the cancer and not get to the diabetes and not have to face
that's right.
that stuff.
You don't want to turn that switch on.
Right.
And chiropractic helps keep you healthy. So we're not necessarily treating particular diseases. We're keeping the body healthy. So those diseases might not pop up because you're not turning those triggers on. And nutrition's a big part of it. Reducing the stress is a big part of it. Reducing the chemical stress, the emotional stress, the physical stress, that's what it's all about.
Right. And you have different people in your office, right? Talk about your clinic a little bit in terms of the practitioners in your clinic.
Well, we've always worked in a multi-specialty facility, working with medical doctors. Now we work with acupuncturists. I started in physical therapy and rehab. So I've always had a total care approach. You need a team of people. You need a village to raise a child, right? So you need a team of people to keep you healthy. So there's an aspect for chiropractic, for the biomechanics, for the removal of structural and nerve interference on the spine. Then there's the nutritional end. Then there's the medical end, because when you have, you know, disease and infection, you need medical treatment and other things to get you well too. So we work with all those specialists and we get people better.
Okay, all right. So I think that is a whole lot right there. People don't realize that you do need a team of people because. You know, I'm just going to say this. A chiropractor in your clinic is not the same as a chiropractor in somebody else's clinic because everybody has their own little specialties and they focus on their own little ways. A dietitian that focuses on what I do in terms of internal inflammatory responses and, you know, food sensitivity and celiac disease and herbals and those kinds of things is different than a dietitian that focuses on kidney and renal functions and whatever. But that doesn't mean that we don't respect each other. It just means we do things differently and we do different things. We concentrate in different areas. But that
and,
all
and
being
you refer
said,
to the you refer to
right.
the specialist
refer,
who can help your patient in the best
right.
way. So
that's right. You know,
that's
I would
what we
never
try to do. So you have a network of, you know, you have a team that you could send your patients to that can help
right.
them with different conditions. Because, you know, I specialize
and
in, you know, disc injuries, but I don't do other things. And my colleagues do, and we refer patients back and forth to each other.
And I think, and that's the point I'm trying to make, in that you have to understand what's going on with you to understand who you need to find so that you don't you can't just open, you know, this is showing my age. You can't just open a phone book because nobody uses a phone book anymore. But let's just say, and, you know, I say that, and a phone book was literally just delivered to my house today. So, you know, you can't just open the phone book and say, oh, chiropractors, same ones. No, not the same. Dietitians, same ones. No, you know, you wouldn't do the same with physicians. You don't do the same with, you know, physicians are not all the same. Everybody has the basic education that might be the same, but they've all specialized and branched out into different areas that make them functional and certified in specific areas, which cause them to be experts in those areas. And that's what you need to understand. So all that being said, now, let's take that person, because, you know, now we have, if that's the case, now we have people who have specific issues. Let's say they have heart disease. Let's say they have heart disease, diabetes, and liver issues. You know, now, how do we bring those people back? Or let's say they have chronic pain with that, and they have a disc out of place, or they have they're facing surgery on top of having diabetes, or maybe not diabetes, but pre-diabetes now, because that's the thing to talk about. You know, and how do we bring them back? And I'm going to let you answer that, and then I'm going to wrap it into even a homeopathic scenario as well.
Well, I work with a lot of people that have a lot of different conditions, and some of them are very ill, and you work with their specialists. Or if they don't have a specialist, you get them to the specialist. So a lot of people come in. It happens a lot. You do an MRI, and you find a nodule on a thyroid. Well, they need to go for ultrasound. They need to see a thyroid specialist. They might have a cancer. You see some hits on the liver. So you refer them out to the specialist and make sure they get the proper care so those conditions can be treated. So you work with their specialist, the primary physician, get them, you know, referred out to the right people, and you support them. I support them with the chiropractic care if they're having their back pain and reduce the spasm and the tension that they have in their spine, and they feel better. They get relief. And in the meantime, you make sure they follow up with the other docs, because there's a lot of denial when people are sick. Oh, I'm afraid to go to the doctor, and they wait for the condition to get really bad. I see a lot of cancer patients, and some of them are in denial to the point where, you know, their breast is almost auto-amputating, and they're denying the fact that this tumor is coming out of their chest walls. This is a little late for this, and you need to see a specialist now. You know, and these are the type of people that might come into the office and have been denying their illness, or they didn't have access to it. But now there's a lot of access to health care, and we're kind of like what would be the right word? You have to get them to the right place.
You gotta be able to be able to pinpoint what that
to
right
direct
place
them.
Is.
You have to direct them. So
right.
you're kind of like a team leader or a captain of the team or part of the team to help direct their health care, and they come back and see you for their spinal issues, and in the meantime they're treating with their other specialists and docs to take care of the other issues, and they get better.
Yeah, so the point to make here is that if you hook yourself up with a practitioner, a chiropractor or any other practitioner, and you know that you have something going on like heart disease, diabetes, whatever, and your first question should be, do you specialize in my area? Do you specialize with what's wrong with me or what's happening with me? Because if the answer is no, then say, well, then how can you help me? And it's okay to ask questions like that. It's okay. You should ask questions. You should absolutely be able to and know that this is your body. It's your tune-up. It's your life. So it's okay to ask questions. And if anybody that is offended by your questions and doesn't want to take the time to answer your questions, those are the people that you hang up on and you don't go back to. Because any practitioner that doesn't want to answer your questions is not the person that you really want to work with. You want somebody who's going to be interested enough in you to do what Dr. Pache just said, and that's to refer you to the right person so that you get what you need. And that's the sign of a good practitioner. So all that being said, now, how about the person that you specialize in, the chronic pain person, the back support person, the person that is facing surgery, the person that is not wanting to have surgery, the person that is, you know, just like, how do you bring them back? What kinds of things do you do?
Well, the most important thing is that they seek out care. And they may have gone to different specialists, physical therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, and not get relief. But as we were talking, different doctors treat different things, and there's different modalities out there to help you. So I do a lot of disc work with spinal decompression, with the decompression table that we have, the Acuspina table. It gets tremendous results. It was developed by a neurosurgeon to keep his patients out of surgery. And you get tremendous results with this. Even though the insurance companies don't want to pay for it most of the time, patients get better. Clinically, they get better. The results are just tremendous. In conjunction with pain management, with the anesthesiologist.
Do you use acupuncture with it too?
We do acupuncture with the patients on the table or pre and post decompression therapy in the office. It's fantastic. And they get great relief. In addition to more invasive pain management, for epidurals or facet injections, they get great results too. So, and that's pre and post surgery. So some patients come in before they have surgery and get better and don't go to surgery. Most of the patients who get decompression therapy don't make it to surgery. They get better.
They get better?
Patients who've had surgery, as long as there's no instrumentation, because surgery doesn't correct the pain all the time. That corrects the mechanical problem, the disc compressing, causing the stenosis and compression on a nerve. That they fix that part. They remove some of that disc, but you might still have the pain because that's a whole other pain thing. It's a whole other neurological system. The nerves are still irritated. They're inflamed, and you still have to treat that. Just like if you have an amputated leg, you can still feel your foot, and the leg's not there. The brain still has the connection. So if you don't work on those connections and break that pain cycle, you never break that chronic pain. And if you're in that pain pattern for too long of a time, then it becomes chronic. And chronic pain is horrible. It's depressing. So you have to treat it with a team. So we use the acupuncture, the chiropractic, the pain management, whatever it needs, whatever the patient needs, so you can get them functional again. And get them moving again so they can have their life back. That's what it's all about.
I think that's key. You got to get their life back. That's the most important thing, right?
I was doing the laundry a couple of weeks ago, and I just moved the wrong way, and my back went out. I couldn't work. I couldn't put my pants on for a week. I couldn't bend. I couldn't move. Now, I knew it was nothing bad, and it was horrible. And so what did I do? I went to my chiropractic buddies, and they adjusted me, and I got adjusted a couple of times, and I did therapy. You know, I took a little medication, and my body healed, and I exercised, and, you know, I got better. You know, I did what I preach, and it worked. But it was pretty funny because I couldn't put my pants on to come to the office because my back went out, and I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't lifting anything. I just moved the wrong way. So it doesn't take much to mess yourself up, and you can fix it in a short period of time. So if you go for help. But if you don't go for help, well, then it becomes a problem. You can't blow it off. So I have patients come in. I check their blood pressure, and their blood pressure is, you know, through the roof. It's just, you're really bad here. You go to the doctor. I take a blood pressure pill every once in a while. But you can die because your blood pressure is really high. You could have a stroke or who knows, you know, a heart attack. You have to go to the doctor. Well, you know, I don't like doctors. Well, you know what? If you don't go, you could die. I can't help you. You got to go. And this is what happens. People are in denial. They don't want to take care of themselves. So it's a problem sometimes.
Right. Well, we've got a question. You want to take a question?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to do caller 2601. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Yes, I have a question. I lost a little bit of the discussion because my crazy phone cut off during the portion that I really needed to listen to. My question for you is that over the past year and a half, I've gone from a person who enjoys walking and was walking, you know, 1 to 2 hours on the treadmill every day to a person who absolutely dreads walking, and it's become a torture. So I've become, you know, really discouraged.
Why do you dread walking? What happened?
Afraid. Well, it's really weird. I feel like my posture is totally out of whack. I'm pitching forward, so it's really hard to straighten up. And I watched my father do exactly the same thing, but he did make it to his 80s and didn't start at 59, which is how old I am. And my mother also has severe spinal problems. I mean, I know I have spinal stenosis. I have scoliosis. I have deteriorating discs and lordosis, but I've been doing quite well until this last year and a half. My hip started hurting so much, I thought I needed a hip replacement, and the orthopedist told me it's actually not your hip, it's your back. Your back is in such bad shape, causing the pain in your hip. So sometimes if I sit in a certain chair, then when I go to get up, I feel I'm going lose my right leg goes out from under me. So the nerves, you know, that run down the right leg are in really bad shape, pinched, I guess, a lot. And then both the tops of both legs are so painful. Went to the movies last weekend with my husband, and we went to get up from the chairs and go down the stairs. And I thought, oh, my God, I may not be able to go down the stairs. I may have to crawl down the stairs. It's just really completely demoralizing, debilitating, scary, because I'm thinking I'm doomed because of what happened to my parents. I'm in physical
therapy. No, you're not
therapy.
Doomed. You're not doomed.
That's what I'm afraid of. So I guess that's my question to you. Is there any hope for someone who all of a sudden finds that they can hardly walk anymore? There
I used to teach people to walk that had no legs, so there's always hope. And, you know, walking might not be the best thing for you. You might have to do something else. What else do you like to do? You know, swimming's great. Recumbent bicycle is great. Stationary bicycle. You
have
to find a different act. Try it out. And go see a rehab specialist and let them work with you a little bit with different exercises. Do you like to swim? You're in Florida? Where are you?
Yes, I'm in Florida, yes.
So you have access to pools. I'm up here in the north. It's going to be snowing tonight. I can't go swimming. So get into a pool if you like to swim. Move around in a pool. That's some of the best exercise. And they have great therapists and aqua therapy available. And they have new machines where they have unloading treadmills where you can walk and take the stress off the spine. They have different machines out there now. So the technology is out there, fantastic. And look into some different rehab centers that provide aqua therapy or different exercise that will benefit you, and you'll feel better. So you might not be able to walk that much, but there's other things you can do, and you'll feel better.
And then if she does that, just by getting those other therapies, then she'll find herself walking again?
Well, I'm afraid, I'm not sure I'm hearing what you're saying correctly.
Well, maybe walking 2 hours a day is not for you. You know, I have terrible flat feet. I can't walk 2 hours. I'm done after like a half hour. I can't walk. I can't run anymore. So I switch my exercise. I do something else. So if you can, you go for a swim. You do some different therapy and get evaluated to treat your stenosis. There's different therapies today for stenosis. There's different surgeries available that have tremendous results. And you decompress the spine, and you'll feel better. You get rid of that pain. They can get in there and open things up if it's not that bad. The pain management specialists do it. The spinal surgeons do it. And it's all available for you today.
Wow.
What about other alternative, like in your office? What about acupuncture or massage, or you know, do those things are those things options for her?
Well, that all helps with the pain and improving function, but you have to address the degenerative conditions that are causing the problem. So if there's stenosis and disc disease, you have to treat it. Because if there's permanent nerve damage, then you're going to have permanent impairment and weakness to those muscles. So you want to treat it early so you don't get the permanent nerve damage. Surgically or non-surgically. With stenosis, sometimes you have to do it surgically. But the type of surgeries they have today are less invasive and very effective. And I'm not a surgeon, so the results are tremendous.
Oh, well, that's really encouraging. I guess my last question to you is, when you are referring to walking as a form of exercise, I understand what you're saying, choose something else because that's not working right now. But I guess my ultimate question is, will I be able to walk normally? Like, can I go to the store? Can I play with my grandchildren? Can I, you know, go to the theater and not have to worry that I can't get down the stairs? By doing some, you know, by seeking help from some professionals, or is
sure.
it never going to
they'll
be,
evaluate you,
know, you
and see what level you're at, and they're going to work with you to get your highest level of function of possible. That's what we're here for, to improve your function to the highest level you can be, and to limit your to limit your impairments.
Okay, thank you so much.
Seek out the professionals, and you'll have help.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. And well, there's a whole lot of information there. Before you hang up, I have a question for Dr. Pache for you. The question is this. We were talking before about that it takes a team of people, and you and I have done shows before, and the very first show that we did was alternative to surgeries, and if you remember that one, I think I called it don't get into that wheelchair or something, and so would a prospective team of people, not necessarily a whole bunch of people, but let's just say, you know, an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, and something else. And I know that you said that you have to go with the core of the problem, unless she's got some degenerative stuff and stenosis. But maybe some of that, just to get the team of people in, to get some of that relief so that she can go to the grocery store, she can do some of those things, would that also improve? This is the question now after all of that. Wouldn't that also improve the chances for surgery to be very successful, as opposed to successful or somewhat successful, because now she's realigned and reshaped the body to a point where the body is actually feeling better? Is that a real thing?
Sure it is. If you keep the body strong, you're going to recover better from any condition, especially for surgery. You have to keep the body, you have to keep the muscle strong. So rehab is a big part of that, pre and post. So if you're not in good shape before you go into surgery, most people aren't because they haven't been active, then there's a lot of rehab involved. But if it's an athlete who's in great shape,
I
treat professional athletes also.
Yeah, if she works on that with that and she gets some of that inflammation down internally, then she relieves the pain, she starts to feel better mentally, and if she, and it makes it almost bearable to say, okay, I'm going to have this surgery. Now, in terms of surgery, you know, maybe what kind of surgery for you say less invasive now, whatever. There has to be some homework being done, as opposed to just taking maybe one person's word for it, making sure it's the right surgery.
Of course, yeah.
You have
to go to a spine surgeon, and I always recommend multiple opinions. And you have to be properly worked up. You know, you have to get the MRIs, the different tests, the scans, whatever they require. And then you can determine that. Then the surgeons determine what you might need and what they might do. And you have to go get a couple of different opinions. Exactly.
Okay. All right, cool. I hope we helped you.
Thank you so much. It sounds more encouraging. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. We're gonna say thank you to you. And I want to tell everybody about what we're doing. We are continuing our workshops with Susan Schatzer. We're going to do another one on December 12th, and that one is called, I'm going to tell you what that's called in a minute, it's called Your Body Isn't Your Enemy, and we're going to do practical techniques to connect, successfully communicate with our bodies. This is part one of two. This will be December 12th at 7 p.m. You can sign up via our Facebook page. The last one we did last month, we had fabulous results from. People are just still raving about that. Dr. Pache, we are going to employ you to consider doing something with us next year with your team of
I'd
people
love to.
And maybe look at a workshop or something or another that we can do. So the whole scoop is kind of moving in the direction of sponsoring some workshops for everybody, and so get involved. We're kind of dipping our toes in the water this year, and we're going to go full force next year. So on that note, I'm going to say thank you to Dr. Pache. It's a fabulous show. As usual, there's just never enough time to talk about everything we need to talk about. So we're going to have him back. He's going to be back. He may even come back with Dr. Bump, and that'll be a fabulous show. You're not going to want to miss that one.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah, it'd be great. So I'm going to say everybody happy holidays, have a happy new year, and we're going to be back on the 12th of January with Tracy Stoppler. Tracy's another repetitious guest for our show. She's another fabulous person who's just versatile in all kinds of things. We're just going to do a basic health and wellness, but some of the shows that we have coming up for next year, we've got Tracy starting us, kicking us off. We're gonna do some more work on pelvic health. We're gonna do some work on. We're gonna talk about some brain health and how that focuses on wellness and health throughout the physical body. We're gonna talk to some healers, some energy healers. We're going to go back into the feet and talk about how the feet are connected to the mind and do some of those. We're definitely going to do the essential oil show next year. We got into some things this year where we scheduled the essential oils and then we didn't have it and whatever. So I promise we will have it next year, and we have Doreen Peterson that has agreed to reschedule with us, and she is a PhD in essential oils. So that'll be a fabulous show. And then Dr. Chris Bump is going to do a three-part series with us. So there's going to be functional medicine. We're going to do all kinds of things. We're going to do some acupuncture. We've got next year booked, and we're just excited, and we're very, very happy to have you join us. Keep blogging us on Facebook, telling us what you'd like to hear, and give us some feedback. And if you like us, like our Whole Scoop page on Facebook and tell everybody that you like us. Give us some reviews if you like us, and tell us what you want to hear. Thank you, everybody. Dr. Pache, thank you.
Thank you so much. And all the listeners, tanti auguri di buona salute e buona fortuna per il nuovo anno.
Absolutely fabulous. You want to translate?
I said all the best of health and happiness and good fortune for the new year.
Fabulous. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, have a great holidays. We'll see you in January. Good night.
Have a great night. Take care.
Thank you.